hedges. One day you're a genius, the next day not so much. Southwest, Delta, and American report quarterly losses. But American still plans to buy up to 100 planes from Boeing. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 16th, 2008. Just as we were nearing deadline, the National Transportation Safety Board announced that as a result of its ongoing investigation into the uncontained failure of a Pratt & Whitney PW2037 engine, it's issuing an urgent recommendation to the FAA to require all the engines in the field to be removed from service for inspection of the second stage turbine hubs well before they reach the 10,880 hours or 4,392 cycles accumulated by the incident engine before the failure happened. That happened on a Delta 757 August 6th during takeoff from McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas. You can find a link to the PDF version of the full NTSB recommendation from a link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Fuel hedges, as pioneered by Southwest Airlines, are wonderful when oil prices are high. But when the price of oil falls, those hedges can be an albatross. Southwest yesterday proudly boasted of its 70th consecutive quarterly profit, but at the same time admitted a third quarter net loss of $120 million, or 16 cents per share. That's down from a net income of $162 million for last year's third quarter. The airline's net income also fell. So how can Southwest say it made money? By dismissing fuel hedge losses with the phrase, excluding special charges. Southwest has nearly all of its fuel hedged at $51 per barrel through 2009. That means the lower the price of oil goes, even if it stays higher than the hedged price, the less competitive Southwest's position relative to other airlines paying current market rate. CEO Gary Kelly chose to focus on the positive. Quote, since August, our revenue trends have strengthened, with September operating revenue per available seat mile increasing 11.0%, and October month to date increasing approximately 14% versus the respective year-ago periods, unquote. Regarding the hedges, he added, quote, even with the drop in prices, our fuel hedge remains in the money, unquote. Delta Airlines reported yesterday it lost $26 million in the third quarter and attributed that loss mostly to fuel prices. In last year's third quarter, Delta earned $220 million. AMR, the parent of American Airlines, lost $360 million compared to earnings of $175 million for the same period last year. But the look back at the third quarter is only half the story. These reports also provide opportunities for corporate executives to look forward and tell investors where they think their companies and the industry are headed. The New York Times reports executives at Delta expressed hope the recent steep drop in oil prices, combined with capacity reductions, may help airlines weather an economic downturn. American Airlines execs were less bullish, warning that fuel prices could rise again at any time and that recent financial turmoil could hurt business bookings. Despite reporting a $360 million quarterly loss, American Airlines CEO Gerard Arpey says the airline can't stop planning for the future. The comment came as American announced it plans to purchase as many as 100 Boeing 787-9 Dreamliners. Under terms of the agreement announced Wednesday, American would take delivery of its first 787 in 2012, part of a 42-plane initial order. Those deliveries would run through 2018. American also has purchase rights for another 58 planes as needed, starting in 2015. Arpey observed, quote, the 787 will help reduce our fuel and maintenance costs, lessen our environmental impact, and support our goal of providing industry-leading products and services over the long haul. Fortunately, our agreement with Boeing allows for significant flexibility to manage our plans in the way that best meet all of our stakeholders' interests, unquote. Airbus has weathered this year's economic crisis relatively well, taking in 737 new orders and projecting about 470 aircraft deliveries. But on Wednesday, Airbus anticipated a slowdown with an announcement it will pause its planned ramp-up of A320 production, keeping deliveries at the current rate of 36 per month. The company announced several months ago it planned to build as many as 40 A320s per month to help fill a deep order backlog. That narrow-body airplane is Airbus's best-selling commercial airliner by far. Airbus recently revealed that its own internal analysis shows more than a quarter of its backlog could be at risk in an economic downturn. Up next on ANN, EAA's Oshkosh upgrades hit local opposition. A space historian says retiring the shuttle is the right move. And how big a problem is the U.S. Airways pilot civil war, really? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 16th. I'm Paul Plack. The presence of the Experimental Aircraft Association's headquarters in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, is somewhat analogous to a busy general aviation airport in a small town. It brings in lots of money to the local economy, but there are always going to be neighbors who complain. If you've ever picked up a copy of the Oshkosh Northwestern while visiting AirVenture, you know that some locals think they ought to get free admission to the event just for living there. And they rail against attempts to close down parking in off-airport areas that have a view of the air show. Well, those emotions have been brought to a head by a recent EAA master plan, which proposed a tax increment finance district to help fund a $17 million expansion of EAA's facilities at Whitman Regional Airport. The Green Bay Press Gazette reports a TIF district normally freezes the tax base in the designated area for a specified period of years so that any tax revenues brought in by new construction are applied to the cost of public works within the district. EAA's plan was structured differently. EAA would borrow $1.9 million to make improvements, and tax revenues would have gone to EAA. That plan sparked hot debate almost immediately. EAA President Tom Poberesny says some members of the Oshkosh City Council made up their minds before they even saw the proposal. Quote, "We pulled back our proposal because there were people who stated publicly before it even went to the City Council that they were against it. People have already prejudged what they're going to do," unquote. Many opponents want to see city funds channeled instead to improving facilities downtown. Poberesny says, quote, "We see it as two separate issues," unquote. City Councilman Tony Palmieri further inflamed the debate by publishing the salaries of top EAA executives on his blog, presenting the numbers as evidence that EAA is wealthy enough to pay for its own improvements at Whitman. 10 EAA execs are paid six-figure salaries, including Tom Poberesny's $446,000. Well, EAA says improvements are going to happen with or without city help. It's just a matter of how much, how soon. In the meantime, Oshkosh is finding new ways to milk its cash cow. For the first time this year, the city will bill EAA for wastewater treatment entering its system from AirVenture. And Winnebago County wants to bill for any special services provided by the sheriff during the event. EAA estimates its visitors left $80 million in Wisconsin this year. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin has fought for the idea that it's time to end the agency's space shuttle program in order to focus resources on the Constellation program. Now, noted space historian John Logsdon has backed Griffin's opinion in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Logsdon opines that the benefits of retiring the shuttle fleet on time in 2010 outweigh the downside of relying on Russia for space access over the following 5 years. Logsdon was part of the 2003 Columbia Accident Investigation Board, which recommended the U.S. replace the shuttle as soon as possible. Griffin has called the shuttle an inherently risky design. Logsdon notes, quote, "The shuttle is also very expensive to operate. This year's shuttle budget is close to $3 billion. If the United States continues to spend that money on flying the shuttle beyond 2010, it will take even longer to develop a replacement vehicle, further delaying U.S. plans to venture beyond low Earth orbit," unquote. Current estimates from NASA put the first manned flight of an Orion space capsule in 2015. Logsdon's op-ed comes as PBS debuts a documentary, Space Shuttle Disaster, about the Columbia accident. That show airs this week. For those of us who follow the airline industry, the continuing civil war among pilots of U.S. Airways following its merger with America West 3 years ago looks like a major failure. The U.S. Airline Pilots Association, which represents the pilots who came into the merger from the U.S. Airlines side, has sharply criticized management for not getting the workforce united. But in the overall scheme of things, just how big a deal is this dispute? The Street reports U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker said in a recent interview that the merger has been a success. Quote, "Without a merger, neither the standalone U.S. Airways nor the standalone America West could have managed through, but merged, we saved 35,000 jobs, unquote. He also admitted, quote, pilot seniority is not something we contemplated we'd still be dealing with 3 years later, unquote. U.S. Airways was bankrupt in 2005 when it merged with America West. Well-positioned hubs, strong demand, and the industry's cuts in capacities have helped the combined company make money. Despite the ugly headlines surrounding the dispute among pilots, Parker claims, quote, our pilots are keeping this between themselves. We've had no customers see this affect them in the last 3 years. People read about it, but it hasn't affected our operations one bit, unquote. Aviation consultant George Hamlin tells The Street, the company could realize efficiencies if pilot lists and contracts are merged, and warns the ongoing standoff echoes Eastern Airlines in its final days. Quote, if you put parochial interests first, last, and only, you could destroy your employer. But so far, you have to count this as a success because the airline is still here, unquote. British Airways' new subsidiary, Open Skies Airlines, launched service on a new route Wednesday between New York JFK and Amsterdam's Schiphol International. Open Skies Managing Director Dale Moss noted, quote, almost 400 years after Henry Hudson left Europe to cross the Atlantic and set the stage for what would become New Amsterdam, we are thrilled to launch the newest link between Amsterdam and New York. At a time when tough economic circumstances are making travel more difficult on both sides of the Atlantic, we believe Open Skies presents a compelling value proposition by combining great prices and a premium product, unquote. The airline is named after the Open Skies Agreement between the U.S. and the EU. The agreement's first phase was signed in March of 2007, opening lucrative European routes to U.S. airlines. The second phase of the plan is scheduled to take effect in 2010. If signed, it would ease U.S. regulations on foreign ownership of domestic airlines. Should all parties not agree to that second phase, the entire agreement is terminated. The first route launched by a European airline under the Open Skies Agreement was Air France's nonstop service between Los Angeles and London Heathrow. At this point, that's set to end November 6th after only 7 months, a victim of the current economic downturn. Still ahead, the medevac industry records 2008's ninth fatal crash. A 47-year-old RC club in California loses its home again. And NASA hopes to have Hubble back online today. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 16th. I'm Paul Plack. It's been a tough year for the medevac industry, with 9 fatal accidents so far in 2008. The latest has claimed the lives of 2 crew members, a flight nurse, and a 1-year-old patient, according to CNN. The accident Wednesday night involved a Bell 222 medevac helicopter that went down in a field near Aurora, Illinois, while transporting the child to Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago. The crash site is adjacent to a 750-foot radio tower. Aurora Assistant Fire Chief John Lane said the aircraft may have clipped one of the tower's guy wires. Quote, there is debris scattered 75 to 100 feet. There really is no aircraft left, per se, unquote. The helicopter was operated by Air Angels Incorporated, a private emergency medical transport service based in Bolingbrook, Illinois. The baby had been picked up at Valley West Community Hospital in Sandwich, Illinois. Police evacuated 16 apartment buildings near the site as a precaution as crews inspected the tower for possible damage. The FAA and NTSB were on site yesterday morning to investigate. A California radio-controlled flying club has found itself homeless many times over its 47-year history. This time, the Peninsula Channel Commanders is hoping its latest eviction won't spell the end of the organization. For more than 10 years, the group has been flying from a 53-acre field near Martins Beach, that's about 30 miles south of San Francisco. In August, new corporate owners closed on the property and have given the club until the end of this month to vacate. Last weekend, the group met to take down its 500-foot airstrip. All that remains now is to remove the rolls of AstroTurf and a storage container, but the group doesn't know yet where it's going to go. Group President Ken Martinez says the new property managers have a problem with model planes flying over the beach. Quote, "More than likely, they can see planes from the beach, even though we're not flying over the beach. I think this new company doesn't want to risk the headache of any people complaining," unquote. The club's 92-year-old patriarch, World War II pilot Alonzo Richardson, was blunt in expressing his frustration to the Half Moon Bay Times. Quote, "We've been screwed again. We did everything we could to be a good neighbor, to contribute to the community activities, and things were going fine until Mr. Deeney had to sell the property. The people who bought it wouldn't hear anything except us getting the hell out of there," unquote. Most members of the group are over 65 years old and say it's tough to recruit younger members when there's no place available to fly. The commanders have even tried their own version of a Young Eagles program, working to provide local Boy Scouts and anyone else who visited, for that matter, some time at the controls of a radio-controlled model plane. Member Harry Smith points to the educational and technological contributions of the sport. Quote, "It teaches discipline and skill, because a lot of people build their own airplanes. You build them from the bones up, so to speak. It can be an educational thing. The stuff we use in the military these days came about from this type of radio-controlled flying," unquote. Martinez says moving is expensive, and he worries that too much delay could spell the end of the group. If you want more information or have ideas on a possible new home for the Peninsula Channel Commanders, visit their website at www.flypcc.org. NASA reports that on Wednesday night, Space Telescope Operations Control Center engineers at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center turned on and checked out Side B of Hubble's Science Instrument Control and Data Handling System. That backup system hadn't been tested since Hubble was launched in early 1990. As ANN reported, the primary transmission channel failed September 27th, ending further data collection and causing the postponement of a Hubble maintenance mission using the shuttle Atlantis. At around noon yesterday, NASA began transmitting commands to recover Hubble's science instruments from their safe modes. Internal exposures and calibrations of the telescope's science instruments were scheduled to be completed overnight, and NASA hoped to have Hubble back in operation sometime this morning. Finally, here's a whole new take on the phrase, "I got stuck at the airport." USA Today reports that for about $35, travelers at several U.S. airports can now get flu shots. Traveler Tomas Cobbs recently took advantage of the program at Hartsfield-Jackson International in Atlanta. Quote, "This is a godsend. I didn't even have to go out of my way to do it. They should have something like this in every airport," unquote. Things seem to be headed that way. Some airports have had on-site medical clinics for years, but they typically didn't advertise. That changed a few years ago when UIC Medical Center at O'Hare International set up flu shot kiosks for travelers, figuring people would pay for the convenience of getting one unpleasant necessity out of the way while experiencing a second, you know, airline travel. O'Hare's UIC Medical Center director, Dr. John Zotkes, says the clinic dispensed more than 5,000 shots last year. Quote, "This year we expect to give close to 6,000 vaccinations, so it's clear that it's a good thing to do," unquote. Similar programs have popped up elsewhere. Some airports even plan to offer free flu shots. San Diego International will offer free immunizations January 16th. Sky Harbor in Phoenix has free shots scheduled January 26th through the 30th, not just for travelers, but for airport and airline employees as well. Cobbs has been inspired with a whole new vision for the future of airport layovers. Quote, "Any service we can get between flights is wonderful. Getting my shoes shined, getting my flu shot. What's next? Teeth cleaning?" Unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in our final excerpt from NBAA's VLJ panel, executives of four companies with very light jet projects discuss training programs and insurance and field questions from the audience. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.